a Rayo Original Podcast.
The way you will age is entirely in your hands. Everything to do with aging starts deep within our bodies at the cellular level. A lot of scientists started to say, well, is aging not the disease? And is that not the root cause? We almost had to pretend that we were researching the diseases still, because if you said you were trying to, you know, treat aging, everyone would just laugh at you.
I'm really surprised by that, because now it seems so obvious.
NAD acts as a fuel to power a lot of these pathways. By the time people are 20, they've already lost half their NAD. We do not get any NAD from the outside world. We now know that it's something that can be slowed and even reversed
in just 28 days. I want to do this test. Welcome back to Rise with Roxy. This episode is brought to you by Nocido, the science-backed supplement that helps reverse biological aging and support your energy from the inside out. I'm also excited to share an exclusive discount code with you. Use the code ROXY20 at Nocido.com for 20% off your first order. Today, we are breaking down one of the biggest wellness topics of our time, longevity. But we're not here for cold plunge trends or vague advice. We're going deep into the science with one of the UK's top experts, Dr. Nicola Conlon. Nicola is a molecular biologist and founder of Nocido, and someone who is obsessed with helping people live longer and better. In this episode, she's cutting through the noise and giving you real, practical strategies to improve your health, boost your energy, and future-proof your body. Let's get into it. Nicola, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Roxy.
I'm so excited. So let's kick off, because you are a molecular biologist specializing in the study of cellular aging. What does that even mean?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? So, you know, when I talk about, you know, the fact that I'm involved in aging research, mm-hmm. a lot of people always say, well, is it skin research? Is it wrinkles? Is it, you know, the way we look? Because typically when you talk about aging, everyone thinks about the outside. Mm-hmm. But actually what we know is that everything to do with aging, whether it's the way we look, the way we feel, an age-related disease, it all starts deep within our bodies at the cellular level. Mm-hmm. So as a scientist, what I really specialize in is what is actually happening in our cells that is driving everything that we see and feel as part of the aging process on the outside.
Because you originally worked in drug development, is that right?
Yeah.
So what drew you to the science of aging? What for you was like so fascinating about it?
I actually initially worked in cancer therapy. Wow. So it wasn't aging at all. But when I was working in drug development, what a lot of scientists had begun to kind of consider was the fact that we're trying to treat all of these diseases, things mm-hmm. like, you know, cancer, Alzheimer's, heart disease, all of these different things. But actually the biggest risk factor for all of them is actually our age. Like not even any of the other things that we think of risk factors, not like right. our diet, smoking, anything like that. The biggest risk factor is our age. So wow. a lot of scientists, and this was probably over a decade ago now, started to say, well, if age is our biggest risk factor, then are all these age-related diseases technically not symptoms of aging? Mm. And if they're symptoms of aging, then is aging not the disease? And is that not the root cause? And maybe we should start looking at if we can target the problem, which is aging, which back then was like unheard of. It was like a radical idea.
Really? So people couldn't see the correlation?
No, like absolutely not. Like wow. even when I first got into it, we almost had to pretend that we were researching the diseases still, because if you said you were trying to, you know, treat aging, everyone would just laugh at you.
Oh my God, I'm really surprised by that, because now it seems so obvious.
It does.
Yeah.
When you spell it out, it does seem obvious that, you know, aging is our biggest risk factor. So why can't we do something about aging? So this is what scientists started to do. They started looking at, can we target the aging process? Mm-hmm. And I was just really fortunate that I worked for a company that was very forward thinking and actually started to look at projects that were looking at molecules that we're not targeting a disease, but we're targeting the aging process itself. And, you know, from that point, I've been hooked.
I love that. You said at the beginning that, you know, people often think that when you talk about that you work in, you know, the science of aging, that people comment on, like, is it skin related or about the way you look? What do you think are some of the misconceptions people have around aging?
I think first of all is that it's just what you see at the surface is a major one. And the second thing is that aging is something that is inevitable. So again, for a long time as a society, we kind of know that aging, you know, we talk about aging gracefully and things like that. But the reality is that in terms of our health, aging is not great. You know, it really means that our bodies start to fail, our bodies start to suffer. And unfortunately, when something's quite negative like that and we don't have an alternative for it, the best way that we deal with it is just go, well, it's natural. You know, it's a natural part of life. It's a human thing. But now we know that it kind of doesn't have to be that way. Like there is an alternative. We now know that it's something that can be slowed and even reversed. So this is really changing everything we thought we knew about aging. It's not a one-way street.
What could be the kind of like best case scenario if you really did start to think early on about longevity, about the aging process? Like, what would be the best case scenario you could get out of it?
So the best case scenario is about being able to live the lives that we have now, the long lives that we have now, but in good health. Right. So a misconception is sometimes about the longevity space is that it's about trying to live longer, try not to die. You know, you see all the Brian Johnsons and people like this, the don't die slogans on the t-shirts. It's really not about that. You know, thanks to improvements in sanitation, healthcare, and medicines, like, we now live a really good long life. You know, for a woman in the UK, our lifespan is expected to be 83 years. We've never lived this long. So this means that we have this issue, as sort of modern humans that are living longer, which is that our health span, which is the proportion of our lifespan that we live in good health, does not actually match the lifespan.
Right.
Yeah. So again, going back to us, our life expectancy, 83 years. Our health span expectancy at current rates is only 64 years.
So what do they expect then in between 64 and 83? What could be the kind of like negative consequences of not looking after our health?
Yeah. So being outside your health span means that you've got multiple chronic age-related diseases. So things that are stopping you from, you know, being independent, stopping you from living a fulfilled, happy life, things that are really impacting your lifestyle. I mean, anybody, I think, that's got elderly relatives will understand what being outside your health span means.
Yeah.
So the real goal and the real thing that we're striving for is how can we make our health span actually match our lifespan. So, you know, we can live well into our 80s, doing everything we want, going out, having friends, having fun, and then maybe have a very short period at the end of life where, you know, we aren't in the best health and then off we pop.
That would be
the way we'd be looking to have this turn out.
Is there a correlation, even though aging is more than the way we look, can the way we look be representative of what's going on inside or not?
Yeah, definitely. So you've got two ages. You've got your chronological age, which is just your age according to your birth certificate, but you've got your biological age, which is the age you are on the inside at a cellular level.
Right.
And I do a lot of tests measuring people's biological age, and we do see a correlation between how people look on the outside versus what's going on the inside. Like, you can almost tell if someone looks a lot older than the chronological age, you can kind of guess that their biological age is going to be higher, because at the end of the day, everything that appears on the outside has already started on the inside, and it's being driven by what's happening on the inside at a cellular level. Interestingly, just when we're talking about skin health, what we know is that, you know, looking after our skin and how well our skin ages, we think a lot of that being about vanity. But now research is coming out to show that if you have healthy skin, it actually can work from the outside in as well.
Really?
So, yeah. So if your skin is healthy and you don't have inflammation and anything like that in your skin, it actually, it drives the health of the whole body. Whereas if you have inflammatory skin conditions, inflammation, you know, doesn't just be limited to the skin. It goes throughout the whole body and can cause damage in the rest of your organs.
That's incredible. But I suppose it doesn't work if you just have Botox to make your skin.
Not Botox. It's skin health. Yeah. So it's about the cells, the skin cells. So Botox is obviously, it's just stopping the skin from moving. So you're not getting the lines. But what we're seeing now, especially in the aesthetic space, is a real increase in people doing what we call regenerative treatments. Mm. So treatments that are actually not looking at sort of freezing the problems with Botox, but actually addressing the root cause. So improving the health of the cells. So things like polynucleotides, even your things like microneedling, which are, you know, triggering a bit of damage to switch on repair pathways. They are actually fundamentally improving the health of your skin cells. And if the skin cells are healthy, then you're going to have more collagen, you're going to have more elastin, you're going to have less wrinkles naturally because your cells are acting younger, but also you'll have less inflammation. And again, inflammation in one part of the body spreads everywhere. So if you've got less inflammation in the skin, like, so you'd see that as like redness, rosacea. Yeah. You've got better health across the entire body, which I just think is really interesting. It's not just about
that
vanity.
That is really interesting. And I think there are going to be a lot of women listening who are absolutely thrilled for all the money they're spending on on bloody salmon sperm and exosomes and all
exosomes
of that. And actually knowing that it's actually doing good for the inside as well. So I'm sure you just made a lot of people very happy, including me. Many of us have seen this clip of Hailey Bieber on The Kardashians saying that she's going to take NAD for the rest of her life and never age. Could you tell us what actually is NAD?
Yeah, absolutely. So NAD is something that I have been studying for a long time, well before it became a buzzword, you know, and it appears on the Kardashians and things like that. And it's not something that's just suddenly appeared. It's not like this new molecule. NAD is actually something that is naturally found in every single cell in our bodies. And it's involved in hundreds of different reactions. Like it does hundreds of different jobs in the body. But the two things that it's most important for are for our energy production. So it literally is part of the process that takes the food that we eat and converts it into the energy that all of our cells and our bodies need to effectively work and stay alive. The other thing it's very important for is repair. So in our bodies, 24/7, we literally have an army of like repair enzymes that are going around, they're looking for damage, the repairing the damage before we even know that it's a problem. And NAD acts as a fuel to power a lot of these pathways. So as a general rule of thumb, if you have got high levels of NAD, you've got lots of energy production and you've got lots of repair. So you, you know, you're physically full of energy and you're very resilient. If you've got low NAD, energy goes down, repair goes down, we start to see the signs and symptoms of aging.
So do we have NAD sort of from when we're born?
Yeah.
And then does it like increase and then start to decline? And if so, when?
Yeah, we are born with a lot of NAD. The really scary fact is that it declines from birth. From birth. So it's estimated to half every 20 years.
Oh my God. I thought you were going to say keeps going till you're like 30, then a steady decline.
No. And this is why we're so interested in it, because it halves every 20 years from birth. So that means by the time people are 20, they've already lost half their NAD.
Right.
By the time they then reach 40, that half is halved again. So if you look at it on a graph, it's like down. It's not a good thing to look at.
Okay.
And that is why scientists became really interested in it in the longevity space, because they said, well, we've got this molecule. We know that if you have high levels, it keeps your energy production switched on, it keeps your repair switched on, but it's declining with age. So why don't we just not let it decline? Can we top levels back up? Can we, you know, get people boosted back up to the youthful levels they had pre-20s? So there was a lot of effort went into to studying this. And to cut a very long story short, it was showing that, yes, you can boost NAD. And secondly, that when you do boost NAD, it actually helps to reduce some of the things in our cells that drive the aging process.
What are the kind of things or lifestyle factors that might accelerate the reduction of NAD?
So anything that we already know is bad for us generally will make our NAD go down. So when I said that NAD halves every 20 years, that's like average.
Right.
In some people, it'll go down quicker if they've got a poor lifestyle. So anybody who, the things that accelerate NAD decline the most are excessive alcohol consumption.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that alcohol needs NAD to be metabolized. So if you are drinking a lot, then it will be using more NAD. The other thing is anything that's pro-inflammatory, particularly things like ultra-processed foods, which cause, you know, a poor gut health, which then drives inflammation in the body. NAD basically gets used up. When you have more inflammation in the body, more NAD is used. So it will drive NAD down. The other really interesting one is sunburn when it comes to our skin. So sunburn causes a lot of damage in our skin. And it basically activates all this repair army I was talking about.
Right.
And that drains our NAD supply.
Wow.
So every time you get sunburn, your NAD is like getting hammered.
That's so interesting because I feel like, especially, I mean, I'm much better now, but growing up, if you get sunburn, you're like, oh, whatever, I'll turn really brown.
You're like
kind of thrilled with a little bit of burn because, you know, in a couple of days you'll be brown. Mm-hmm. But actually, I think it's so incredible that now we can know the actual harm of it and what it can do in the future. What are the things that people can, or the lifestyle factors that people can introduce that will naturally increase NAD?
So again, they're the things we already know are good for us.
Yeah.
So exercise is one, and fasting is the other really important one. And the way that these two things work is very similar. Both exercise and fasting are putting your body in like a state of energy stress.
Mm-hmm.
So like in your cells, the cells are sitting there going, uh-oh, there's no energy coming in, or we're using lots of energy and it's not being replaced. Mm-hmm. And that like triggers an alarm where the cell goes, we need to survive this period of stress. So it does two things. It switches on NAD production to produce more NAD.
And you can produce more NAD even as you're getting older.
Yes.
Right.
So that's a really key point, actually, just to mention, is that we do not get any NAD from the outside world, from our diet, from anything. There'll be loads of influencers and TikTokers and whatever going, eat this to get more NAD.
Yeah.
You cannot get NAD from the diet.
Right.
Our body has a pathway in our cells that literally makes and recycles all the NAD that we need. It's like a recycling process.
Right.
It's used, it's broken down, and it's recycled back into fresh NAD again.
Mm-hmm.
And when we exercise and fast, it literally turns on that process like double time. So you start producing more.
How long would you have to fast for it to happen?
About, in women, about 14 hours.
Right.
Men, 16. Women and men are slightly different when it comes to fasting, but you're looking at about 14 hours for a woman. So not that difficult. You know, it's just having your evening meal a little bit earlier, having your breakfast a little bit later. It's quite achievable to do that. For the exercise, it's high intensity interval training. So, you know, short sprints for like 30 seconds, followed by maybe a 90 second walk, and do that for 10, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That's the best type of exercise to increase.
Okay. Can you tell us what are the ways that we can increase our production through supplementation?
Yeah. So you can boost NAD through supplementation, but the way that you boost it matters. NAD is a very big molecule and it's also very unstable. So it struggles to get through the gut. So you cannot put pure NAD in a capsule and just swallow it.
Right.
It just doesn't work like that. It gets degraded. It doesn't actually get into the body where it has its function. So then a lot of other supplement companies then started popping up, which contain ingredients called NAD precursors. I'm not sure if you've come across these.
Yeah.
So these are things like NMN or NR, and NMN is the most popular one that's kind of everywhere. What these molecules are they're like the raw materials that your body uses to make NAD. So the idea behind these is that if NAD's gone down in the body, let's just give the body more of the raw material that it needs to make NAD, and hopefully it will turn it into NAD.
Right.
And for a long time, even, you know, as scientists, even myself, we thought that was the best way to boost NAD.
Right.
But then we actually worked out why NAD is declining in the first place.
Okay.
And the reason it's declining is because the enzyme in our cells that takes the raw material and turns it into NAD, that's what declines with age. So you can take as much NMN as you want, but if you don't have the enzyme there to actually turn it into anything, it's kind of pointless. It's like, you know, going into a factory and saying my production's gone down. I can see all the machines are broken, but let's ignore that and order some more raw material.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So tell me about Nichido.
So we wanted to do things differently. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to make an NAD booster, which is like a second generation NAD booster that's based on the latest science of how we know NAD declines that actually fixes the problem. So our supplement works very differently. Mm-hmm. It actually contains ingredients. It doesn't contain NAD, doesn't contain NMN. Right. It contains ingredients that actually switch back on your body's natural production pathway. Right. So the enzyme that makes and recycles NAD very well when we're young, but gets turned down as we get older, our supplement's been clinically proven to switch that back on.
So just so I can get this right, so this gives you the enzyme you need to turn the raw materials into NAD.
Exactly.
But do we naturally have enough raw materials? Like, is it enough to just take this?
So we also have some raw material in there.
Okay, great.
So we say it's like we're like ticking every part of the puzzle, kind of. So not only do we have the ingredients in there that switch on the production pathway, the enzyme, we also put some raw material in there. We don't use NMN. We use a different precursor called nicotinamide, which is actually the body's preferred one that it uses to make NAD. Our body naturally doesn't use NMN. It uses nicotinamide, which is another B vitamin. So it's got some of the raw material in. It's got the ingredients to switch on the enzyme. And then we also have some other ingredients in there which stop our bodies from wasting NAD, because another main reason why NAD declines is because as we get older, our cells have been around for longer, they've got more damage, they've got more inflammation, they've been using all our NAD to repair this. But what happens is it starts to drain your NAD. So we have ingredients in there that also are trying to basically save it, try to prevent some of that damage, prevent some of the inflammation, so we're not draining the NAD supply as much. So it's kind of looking at all the little bits that have gone wrong and trying to fix them all.
Incredible. I mean, I am very excited. The first thing I said to you, I was like, please, can I have some? I'm very, very excited because, I mean, I am so invested in trying to live better for longer. I am like loving life. I want to feel as good as possible. I've been hearing so much about NAD, but tried different things and it hasn't worked for me. I was sent sort of different sort of NAD supplements. I told you before, one was like in a pipette and then you just kind of get it out. I didn't feel any different from it. I tried the IV once.
Okay. It was How is that out of
interest? Laborious. I mean, 2 hours. I felt really sick and I actually didn't feel any difference afterwards, I would say.
Interesting what you say about how you felt on the drip.
So
a lot of people have been hyping up about the drips because you can't take pure NAD orally, as I mentioned. So the reason people are doing the drips is they're like, okay, if you can't take it orally, let's just infuse it directly into the blood to bypass the gut. But NAD is not naturally found in your blood. And especially not in huge amounts. And NAD is a big molecule. So what happens is it literally gets stuck in the blood. It can't pass over into the cells. And NAD only has its function in the cells. That's where it does its thing. It doesn't do anything in the blood. So you are infusing a huge amount of something that's naturally never in the blood. So what happens is the body goes, oh my goodness, why is this NAD that's supposed to be inside the cells all of a sudden being released into the blood? So it actually triggers an inflammatory reaction. And there's a paper just come out that's now proved this. So I think that's going to rattle a lot of people that have been doing these IVs, because, you know, they're doing the IVs thinking it's going to help longevity and help inflammation. And, you know, a lot of doctors will say, oh, the reason you feel so sick is because it's detoxing or it's having its effect. It's not. It's because you are having an inflammatory response. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That is fascinating. What can people look out for if they're trying not just because obviously if they want NAD, they should only use your product. But for other supplements that people maybe want to introduce and mm-hmm. they're really looking for something that's safe, is there anything you can look out for?
Yeah. So the first thing is, unfortunately, it does rely on the consumers doing a bit of their own research. Mm-hmm. You know, if something sounds too good to be true, you know, it probably is. Right. So just doing a little bit of digging. So again, for us, we've done a full human double-blind placebo-controlled clinical trial. That's like the type of trial that you would normally only get in mm-hmm. drug development.
And what were your results from that?
Oh, so from that, so well, first of all, we showed it actually increases NAD, which is a big tick because you will not believe the amount of products that will say, ah, product increases NAD. And then you're like, well, how do you know this? And they're like, oh, there is no study. Right. So that's a big tick. Yeah. The second thing we showed is that it increases levels of the enzyme that mm-hmm. produce NAD. So we know it works very differently to all the other products. Mm-hmm. We showed it reduces inflammation, mm-hmm. Which is incredibly pro-aging. We showed that it decreases something called glycation, which is very bad for skin aging. Mm-hmm. But for me, I think one of the most exciting things was we actually measured all of the participants' biological age.
Yeah.
So we literally measured how old they were on the inside before taking the supplement and then after 28 days of taking the supplement. Yeah. And we found that it reversed their biological age by 1.26 years
in just
28 days.
I want to do this test. Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely so excited.
And that's the inside. So that was all of the sort of, they're the bits that get me excited as a scientist. Yes. But we also looked at what happens on the outside. So mm-hmm. we've done studies looking at skin quality.
Yeah.
So you can take special pictures with a special camera that looks at pigmentation mm-hmm. and redness and inflammation. And again, we showed a real visible reduction in redness and rosacea.
I get such bad rosacea.
Oh, well, that'll be a good thing. Help. Yeah, that'll be a really good thing to measure. And then the other thing is we've done a sleep study. We haven't mentioned, but NAD is very important for sleep. If your NAD is low, your sleep can become disrupted. So a lot of customers with the Oura rings.
Oh my God.
It would be very interesting to see.
You don't look for people's wedding rings anymore. You look for that Oura ring.
Yeah.
So is your sleep much better now?
Yeah. So we see an improvement in HRV. So an increase in HRV, which shows that the body's going into a deeper rested state.
Right.
We usually see better levels of deeper sleep and also more REM.
What's HRV for anyone listening?
Oh, so HRV is heart rate variability. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a measure of how variable your heart rate is. So lots of people think you want your heart rate to be very rhythmic, like a beating drum. Mm-hmm. Now, that is good when you're alert and switched on. But during sleep, you want your heart rate to become a little bit more variable. So instead of like really rhythmic beating, it's a bit, it has different gaps.
Really? I didn't know that.
And because what that signals is it signals that your body has gone into what we call a parasympathetic state, mm-hmm. which is like you rest and relax. Whereas when it's that alert, awake, sympathetic state, it's the rhythmic one. Right. So you want it to be more parasympathetic because that shows that when you're asleep, your body's actually switched off.
Right.
And it's actually gone into rest and repair mode.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, a lot of people think they're being asleep, but they get a terrible sleep score. Mm-hmm. Is the HRV so low because they're so stressed, their body's not really switching off.
Yeah. I used to think I just had a constant 8 hour sleep every night, but I was like, why would I be tired?
Yes.
But I realized that actually getting deep restorative sleep is very different to just being asleep.
Yeah.
And I can absolutely tell the days my sleep score is high because it's had more restorative sleep. Mm. I am like a Duracell bunny.
Yeah.
And the days it's low because I've had light sleep or because I haven't, like whatever the cause was, my whole day is different. My mood, my energy, my productivity. So I'm very excited. This is going to help me with everything. My skin, my sleep.
I know. It almost sounds too good to be true. Like I've just said, check if it's too good to be true. But I always laugh because I say, somebody will say, well, does it help with this? Does it help with that? And I'm like, yes, yes. But when you think about the physiology of NAD, it's in every cell. Mm-hmm. It's involved in very, very important processes in the cell. So it's no surprise that when it goes down, it causes chaos mm-hmm. across the body. But also when you boost it, it literally does have an effect throughout many different body systems. You know, everything from your brain function to your skin.
Is there anybody that can't take it?
So we don't recommend it in under 18s and pregnant and breastfeeding women mm-hmm. just because it's never been tested, but we don't have any clear contraindications. In our study, we also tested it on men and women, which mm-hmm. is really unusual for a clinical trial to have women.
And it's wild.
Yeah, it's wild, isn't it? But we included women.
Thank you so much.
And we also had a really wide age range. So we used people all the way from age 20 through to age 80, which again is very unusual. Yeah. And the interesting bit was we found that the 20-year-olds benefited just as much as the 80-year-olds.
Yeah. I was thinking, because even when you saw, as soon as you said that we have the most NAD when we're born,
yeah,
I did think, like, surely you could start this so much earlier, like in your 20s. Mm. And I wonder how that would impact us. Because I suppose it's because it's only just becoming sort of like people are becoming aware of it. Mm-hmm. There aren't going to be many 20-year-olds you're not going to see, but hopefully in like 10, 20 years, you might start to see the effect of younger people.
Yeah. And we know this. Prevention is better.
Yeah.
So the long, you know, our bodies are very good at looking after themselves. Mm-hmm. It just seems to get turned down. So imagine if we could just keep that switched on.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this is all about.
Yeah, exactly. Apart from the sort of scientific results and what's going on inside, generally, how do you think people will feel different?
So the number one reported benefit is energy. Mm. And that's not just physical energy, it's cognitive function and cognitive energy. You know, people saying that they feel like they've just got more get up and go, they're not getting to 3 p.m. and having a slump. Especially anybody who's suffering brain fog. We get a lot of reports from both men and women, but particularly in women that are suffering from perimenopause and menopause who are experiencing brain fog. Mm-hmm. We see a real improvement there. Some people notice that within days. Other people, it's way more subtle. Some people mm-hmm. are, you know, they're like, I don't know if I feel anything or if I do or I don't. But even in the people that we know are not feeling anything, we know from the clinical trial, the repair is happening on the mm-hmm. inside. And it's usually those people that, you know, 3 to 6 months down the line go, oh my goodness, my nails, my hair.
Yeah.
We see like reversal of gray hair, things like that. People will go, do you know what? If it's doing that to my hair, then...
As a scientist, could you please tell me what are the other longevity trends that you think are worthwhile and which aren't?
Okay. So for me, and these are things I do. So mm-hmm. Two things that I'm obsessed with are the cryotherapy and sauna.
Okay.
So cryotherapy's definitely become a buzzy trend.
Yeah, very.
And a lot of people say to me, oh, but you know, does it really do anything? Mm-hmm. Does it really work? And the answer is yes.
And just for anyone that doesn't know what cryotherapy is, could you just explain it?
So, I mean, there's multiple ways to do cryotherapy, but most people will get in an ice bath, mm-hmm. which isn't everyone's cup of tea.
Absolutely not mine.
Or you can go in like a cryotherapy chamber, which has like liquid nitrogen, which like cools it really down and it looks mm-hmm. really sci-fi, and you come out and there's all the, you know, the liquid nitrogen smoke everywhere. Yeah. Or you can just literally sit in a cold shower for like a minute. Sauna is another thing that is also beneficial, but obviously has the opposite effect of extreme heat. Mm-hmm. And both of these things actually work in a similar way. They're exposing the body to a little bit of stress. And normally we talk about stress as being a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But when it's this sort of physiological, like temperature stress, it's actually quite a good thing because our bodies are not used to or not designed to be sitting in heated or air conditioned buildings. We were built to be outside and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of be exposed to different temperatures. Mm-hmm. And when we are exposed to these different temperatures, especially extreme temperatures, it literally kickstarts repair pathways and survival pathways in our cells. Mm-hmm. And if we don't expose ourselves to these little bits of stress, then pathways are amazing, but they just sit there doing nothing.
Right.
So it activates these pathways, it reduces inflammation, it releases, you know, cold therapy releases dopamine, mm-hmm. the feel-good hormone. So those are two things that I think are not fads, although, you know, seeing people on social jumping in an ice bath can kind of feel a bit faddy, but it has some science behind it. More is not always better. Mm-hmm. So we see a lot of biohackers, you know, people that are doing, you know, extreme, they're getting in an ice bath for 10 minutes and then they're doing high intensity interval training and they're doing hyperbaric and they're doing mm-hmm. all these things. we actually see them come back when we measure their biological age as older.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I've spoke to a lot of biohackers where I've done like a consultation or whatever. And then they've been older and they've been like, what on earth? But when you look at it, it's like, yeah, because you are stressing your body out like constantly.
Everything in moderation.
Everything in balance. Their body likes balance.
So cryotherapy, saunas. Yeah. What else do you love?
Red light.
Oh, yeah. I just ordered a red light.
Yes, red light.
Yeah, a mat.
Yes. So red light, again, is something so simple. Like people think, how can sitting in front of a red light really do anything? But this is very important for our mitochondria. So the little energy power plants in our cells that are producing all our energy, very, very important. They actually are sensitive to different wavelengths of light. So red light is a wavelength. When they see red light, they literally start repairing themselves. They start producing more energy. And again, this is so simple. You just got to sit there for a couple of minutes, you know?
Only a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it varies. Different research says different things. I do 20 minutes kind of. Sitting in front of a red light. It's also very good for resetting your circadian rhythm, like your natural sleep-wake cycle. So
it's honestly, I find it so incredible, and I feel such immense gratitude that there are scientists like you out there who are able to teach us how to like optimize our lives. I think it's so amazing. Like, we're so fortunate to live now and we have these opportunities to better ourselves.
I always say it's such an exciting time to be alive because this is the first time in human history that we've realized there's something that we can do to age well.
Yeah. Rather than just like letting life pass us by and not thinking. Like you said, I think one of the misconceptions is that it's inevitable that we'll just get older and frailer and ill. You know, and actually it doesn't have to be that way.
Exactly. I think the key thing is that the way you will age is entirely in your hands. Mm. For a long time, we thought there was nothing we could do about it. We thought it was our genetics, it was programmed, but we now know that 80% is your lifestyle. So, and your lifestyle is entirely in your hands. So if you can improve some of the things that we've been speaking about today and incorporate them into your lifestyle, then the way you age is really in your hands.
I absolutely love that. And for anybody that feels, I think one of the barriers to people doing these things is they think it feels so overwhelming and you have to do everything at once. But you can just do one of these things, right? And that will at least start making a difference.
Diet. 100% diet. If you can increase the variety of plants in your diet, so aim to eat around 30 different plants a week, that has been shown to not only improve gut health, but lower inflammation across the entire body. Mm-hmm. And we know inflammation is a key driver of the aging process. 30 plants sounds a lot, but this can be nuts, seeds, herbs, spices. Mm-hmm. You know, having a salad and a fruit salad can get a lot of those things in just once a week. So it is easier than you think. And that would be probably the one thing that would have a really big impact.
Amazing. Oh my God. I feel so, firstly, I'm so excited to start my Nocita Time Plus pills. It's how many a day? One a day?
It's three capsules a day.
At the same time?
Take them all in one go.
Oh, easy.
With food, not on an empty stomach. Mm-hmm. Just take with a glass of water, with some food.
And doesn't matter which meal you have them with?
Preferably the earlier in the day, the better. Okay, so breakfast, lunch, preferably.
And actually, quick question, because I take quite a lot of supplements. Mm-hmm. Is it bad if you take all your supplements in one big dose? Should you try and split them up for your tummy to be able to handle them, or does it not really make a difference?
It doesn't really matter.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Really. Yeah.
This is my favorite episode ever. I'm like going to come out here. So next week, I'm going to be so young and slept. Last question for you is, what does rising mean to you?
Oh, interesting. So rising for me, because I'm an educator, means empowering people with knowledge. I think if people can have knowledge, then they can, you know, use that to rise to be the best versions of themselves.
I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I absolutely loved that conversation with Dr. Nicola. I think it's so empowering to know that there is science behind aging better and knowing that there is something that we can do about it now. I can't wait to use the product. I'm genuinely so excited. I am so happy that you guys can get 20% off with the discount code ROXY20. Just head to nocito.com roxy.com/Roxy. We'll also leave the link of the website in the notes of this episode so you can find it easily. Can't wait to hear how you guys get on. Send me a DM at Rise with Roxy and let me know. We can compare notes. See you next time.
A Rayo Original Podcast. Rayo.